This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You ready for a Mock Draft Monday, Keith?
Of course I'm ready for a Mock Draft Monday, Jones. I love mock drafts. I like a list. I like a power ranking. I like a tier. I like a mock draft.
Yeah, we don't like to read. That's basically what it comes down to is I don't want to read a whole bunch of stuff.
Ooh, something with bullet points?
Yeah, give me some words.
Yeah.
Not too many.
No.
But give me some words in like a ranked, bullet pointed, tiered.
You want to throw some pictures in there?
Sort of list.
I'll take a look.
The more pictures, the better.
Yeah, I'll take a look.
We like mock drafts on this show.
Yes, we do.
So we will talk to Chris Scheim.
Do you know when the draft is, Jones?
I know exactly when it is. It's 52 days, 8 hours, 57 minutes, and 2 seconds. No, 1 second. 57 minutes exactly.
So we better get ourselves prepared,
is
what you're saying.
Yes.
We better get ourselves prepared. That's less than 2 months. That's only 51 more sleeps. So every Monday, we will discuss a mock draft, and what better place to start than right here at WEEI.com with our mock draft guru, Chris Scheim.
Yeah, no, Scheim was already catching strays from what I heard.
Like,
what does Scheim know?
Jealousy is a stinky cologne,
it is.
Jones.
It is. Well, you're going to find out what Scheim knows when he joins us in studio, 10:45. I heard him defending his mock this morning.
I do hope he's
on the
wrong.
Greg Hill Show. Why?
Because I don't like what he had the Patriots doing and taking. No, these are his predictions. This isn't what he's hoping for. This is his prediction for what's going to happen.
What will actually go down.
And so I'm just saying, like, I hope he's wrong. And he might hope he's wrong, too. Like, that's not, again, it's not the guys that he likes. It's where he thinks they're going.
I heard him this morning because he hates Travis Hunter. And yet Travis Hunter is going third, which was a bit confusing until I heard the explanation.
Yeah,
right.
It makes sense.
This is how he sees it.
You can do a hope mock draft. You can do a prediction mock draft. You can do a, because you're not if it was just Chris Scheim's big board, that'd be very different, right? Like, rank the prospects.
Yeah, sure.
It's very different.
Yeah.
Because you might not have any of the quarterbacks up there that high, or maybe you do. I don't know. That's the beauty of the this type of season and this type of exercise.
So Mock Draft Monday, we're going to be doing it for the next, 7, 8, 9 Mondays, whatever it is, leading up to the draft. Yep. We'll start with Scheim's mock at 10:45.
Probably
lock that
seven.
In. What
right.
Seven,
would,
you think?
I would think.
Got it.
Right?
I don't know. I'm bad at math. I like to read lists.
Well, 7 times 7 would put us at 49, right? If there's 52 days until the draft.
Hey, if you say so. Right. So, so we'll start with Scheim today at 10:45. We're also going to have the beginning, the very, very beginning of the Jones and Keefe bracket.
Yes.
All March long. We're going to have a poll question later on today, right around 11:45, leading up to high noon.
Yeah.
It will be available at Jones and Keefe Twitter, Instagram. You can vote on 4 different topics that we'll unveil later on today.
This is savvy by us.
And you will pick.
Yeah.
You will pick the theme of the Jones and Keefe bracket. Why is it savvy?
It's savvy because starting on Wednesday when the bracket is released, we're going to get a lot of flack and people are going to be like, this topic is dumb. To which we will say, you picked it.
You won it.
You guys picked
it. We didn't even
want
this.
Vote for it. Yes, you did. You guys picked this. We just gave you the option. We also think it's dumb, but you decided that this is what we're going to do for the rest of the month. But I also love a bracket. I should have included that. I like power rankings. I like lists. I like mock drafts. I like bullet points. I like Cliff's notes. I also very much like a bracket.
Yeah.
I'll throw anything into a bracket.
All right, well, we're about to.
So we're going to have 64. It's going to be the traditional. We're not doing 68. We're not doing play-in. But we're also not doing, you know, like every once in a while places will try to get caught up in like the March Madness feel. And they'll be like, here's eight things. Like, no, not we're not doing eight things.
No, no, no. Or 64.
We're doing 64 things.
You don't want to do 68? Couple of players.
No, that's what I just said. I don't want to do that.
It
screws up the bracket. Yeah. It doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Because then you have to do like a separate one.
It's authentic.
And then you look at it and you're like,
conference tournaments into the bracket? That's like, maybe next year.
What does that say? It says play in winner. Like, yeah, I'll take them to the Final Four. You don't even know who it is.
So that comes your way 11:45 today, right before high noon. Keith will have his Oscars and Elimination Chamber recap.
A big weekend for probably just me. I don't know what the overlap is for Elimination Chamber and the Oscars, but I watched both, and I'll tell you what, pretty excited about both.
Okay. Well, yeah. We're going to hear Keith's breakdown of that today, plus all your phone calls, 617-779-7937 on any or all of these topics. I mentioned Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keith. You can seek out the Jones and Keith bracket there, along with our social media content. You can watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, always a healthy chat going on over there. And on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. You heard off the top, Andrew Callahan and Doug Kide. That was the Pats Interference podcast. They had a big write-up in the Herald this weekend. A lot of Patriots buzz.
Ooh, they were ripping the top off it this weekend, weren't they?
They really were.
They were.
And so I'll start with this. They had names. They named names for some of the top free agents the Patriots are going to be in on, Keith. We can go a lot of different ways with this, but we'll start with this. You tell me what you think of it.
Okay.
Patriots top free agents, according to the Boston Herald, Andrew Callahan and Doug Kide. Ravens left tackle Ronnie Stanley.
Love it.
Eagles defensive tackle Milton Williams.
Okay.
49ers quarterback Tre'Davious Ward.
Hmm.
Buccaneers wide receiver Chris Godwin are among the Patriots' top targets, according to sources. Though members of the organization are doubtful Godwin will actually leave Tampa Bay.
I like the first and the last name a lot. I mean, I wouldn't be mad with any of those guys. You know, they need talent across the board. There's pretty much every position. We've discussed this all the time. Besides quarterback, if you add somebody who's good, great. They'll probably play. They'll probably start right away for your team. The left tackle is obviously of the utmost importance, as is wide receiver. So those are two names before we get into the trades, before we get into obviously the draft picks and everything else. I mean, what a boost that would be. I mean, I don't know how realistic it is, but if you told me that Ronnie Stanley is going to be your starting left tackle and Chris Godwin goes in your wide receiver room, I mean, that is an incredible offseason.
They weren't the only ones writing about Ronnie Stanley. Mike Reese had a note on this as well, linking the Patriots to Ronnie Stanley. He said at the NFL scouting combine, one rival NFL executive said some buzz going around was the Patriots would aggressively pursue Ravens left tackle Ronnie Stanley. Should he make it to unrestricted free agency? So that's the problem.
This is the tough part.
Some of their top guys, Ronnie Stanley, may not leave the Ravens. Chris Godwin may not leave the Bucs.
So is this...
T. Higgins is also... They did not poo-poo the idea of T. Higgins, unlike Chad Graff?
Kraft.
Chad Graff.
Yeah.
Had a note last week that they wouldn't be in on T. Higgins. The Giardis, Daniels of the world, and now the Herald are all saying the Patriots will be in on T. Higgins, .. if he gets to market. So
this is my fear.
A lot of the ones they're linked to aren't even going to get there.
So this is my fear. And this is just from being a Patriots and Red Sox fan over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Are they saying they're in on Stanley and Godwin because that's what the fans want to hear?
Probably.
Just like the Red Sox were in on Soto?
Yeah, maybe.
Now, I don't want to pile on the Red Sox because the Red Sox ended up taking that disappointment and that sort of like fake interest, and then they turned it into a really healthy offseason, and I'm excited about the season. So it doesn't mean the Patriots are just lying to us, and then they're going to go like, well, guys, we wanted Stanley and Godwin, but they didn't move. It's like, all right, well, find some guys who are going to move teams then. Like, that's great that they're on the list or the short list of guys that you're prioritizing, but it better not be that or bust, that or, hey, let's see what we can do in the draft.
Well, I do think they made it pretty clear in the Herald that they have pivot plans. We can get into some of them. But again,
and that's what Wolf and Vrabel both kind of alluded to when they spoke last week, too.
Exactly.
Like, you have a plan, then you got to go somewhere else.
So the top targets, Ronnie Stanley, Milton Williams, Tre'Davious Ward, Chris Godwin. Let's say you get two or three of those guys.
It's great.
That means they are spending,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and that,
yeah.
That's my fear, is they're going to kind of go middle of the road and go with a bulk offseason signing where you're bringing in, you know, to compare it to 2001, rather, you know, 20, 21, 22 guys, kind of all mid-tier. You're not going to take a big shot. This is a year to me where if some of those guys are available, you take the big shot. And so I was encouraged by that. To your point about having fallback plans in place, the Herald also detailed some left tackles that they would be looking at. So they're comfortable signing any of Ronnie Stanley,
mm-hmm,
Dan Moore out of Pittsburgh? Not familiar with his work.
Less familiar. No,
apparently he's their left tackle.
The last guy they got from Pittsburgh did not work out great. He actually left the team.
That's a good point. Yeah. Can't be worse than him, though,
no,
right?
Cannot be.
Dan Moore out of Pittsburgh. Cam Robinson. We've mentioned that name before. Yeah. That's up in the Twitch chat right now. Out of Minnesota, he has a connection to Doug Marrone. Marrone was the head coach in Jacksonville when Cam Robinson was drafted. Alaric Jackson also was on that list until he re-signed with the Rams. So they have some pivot plans in place. I don't know, I'm personally crazy about any of those.
So that seems like a big drop-off. And if you're going back to like Mike Vrabel's car analogy, right, where he's like, if there's like a lot of good cars, like you, whatever it was, you know, you don't need to get the highest paid one.
If there's four or five cars that supply, then we don't need to go all out for it. But if there's one, I'm going to make sure we go all out for the one. Left tackle feels like there's one.
Big time. And left tackle for sure feels like there's one.
That's free agency, Keith. I would add the draft as well. Will Campbell, bad combine. Short arms, bit of a T-Rex. Don't like that.
Like Kelly Olynyk arms?
That's
not going to play.
Who has longer arms, Kelly Olynyk or Will? Yeah, it's Will Campbell. Who are we kidding? It's Will
Small little arms. So you don't like Will Campbell? Is he not the best Haas available?
Okay, I don't think there's a great list of left tackle prospects in the draft.
Okay.
Outside of Ronnie Stanley, I don't think there's a lot of them in free agency. So I agree. If you want to play out the car analogy, that's too big of a drop down to these other names. Cam Robinson, Dan Moore. Like that's too big of a drop.
What would you rather have? The best left tackle on the team next year be a rookie or a veteran? And then flip it to wide receiver, rookie or veteran?
Yeah, I'd rather have the veteran at tackle.
I'd rather have the veteran at wideout.
I would, based on the class, I would rather have the veteran at tackle.
Okay, so you're going off a class, which I understand. I just think what you have on Wenu, you have David Andrews, we think. Like, I think you have a little bit more experience on the line. As bad as the line played last year, and part of it was the revolving door at left tackle, but I would rather take a shot at a guy there and then see if he can just be a plug-and-play guy. Whereas the receiver thing, whether it was Bill or Elliott Wolf, has not worked. You are left over with a bunch of these young receivers that I don't think a rookie receiver is going to completely turn the thing around. Travis Hunter, I look at as sort of a different kind of case study because also going to play a lot of defense, and I'd like to add a veteran receiver as well. But that to me seems like if it's not Ronnie Stanley, I think I'm probably now looking back in the draft for that guy. Because I don't love those other names.
No, me either. I mean, I get what you're saying. I'm shooting for the moon with Ronnie Stanley, but if he's gone, then you probably dabble in the left tackle market in the draft, whether that is hopefully trading down from four, whether that's trading back up in the first round, meaning from your second round pick to like the 20s, or even trying to get one at 38. That's probably the way to go if Ronnie Stanley stays in Baltimore.
Is he also the type of guy that you would just make the highest paid offensive lineman?
Yeah.
Like you got to go kind of crazy. You have to go kind of shock value. Like if you have the opportunity to get him, to pull him away from there, because Kern made the line last week when we were talking to him. He's like, you've played your whole career in Baltimore. You're blocking for Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. You're a contender, right? You haven't broken through yet, but you're a contender. You're comfortable there. Or go to New England and block for Ramondre Stevenson. I don't hate him as much as Curran does, but I'm just saying, like,
oh, Curran hates him.
That's a big swing. Like, you need to get paid a ton of money to come to New England if you're him.
Well,
or if you're anybody.
And it's interesting because Kyde and Callahan on the Patch Interference podcast and in the column as well, the article as well in the Herald, talked about how there's a lot of buzz at the combine around Vrabel and May and that combination, and people are going to want to play with them. And Drake May could even be a top five quarterback in the league in very short order by like 2026. And while all of that's coming out of the combine, the proof will be in the pudding, right? Either you're getting Ronnie Stanley or you're kind of, I don't want to say dumpster diving, but you're taking a step down to the Cam Robinsons of the world. So are you landing these big ticket free agents? Are you spending money or are you not? That's going to say a lot about the Vrabel May combination. They have the money. So it's going to say a lot about either Kraft's ability to spend, willingness to spend, or those two, and whether or not people want to come play with them. I think they will. If Kraft's willing to spend the money, I believe the Herald. I think they will want to come play with those guys.
Yeah, I think it's night and day difference this year compared to last year at this time, right? So it's year one of Jerod Mayo, and then what are you doing at quarterback versus Drake May and Mike Vrabel? Like, that is a much more competent duo at the most important positions on the team. The money's always going to be, I would think, the very first priority for all these guys. But as long as the money is there, if they're the highest paid guy or at least higher than the next team is offering, I think you could talk them into coming here. Plus, compensation and opportunity. It's something that Vrabel was preaching quite a bit. The opportunity is certainly there. Now, for a guy like Stanley, it's there everywhere. But for some of the other guys, like when you get into some of the receivers, maybe, you know, you're not going to be promised as many targets or as many opportunities for targets as you would in other places. And the Patriots can offer that.
A couple more items from the Herald on free agents. Jamien Sherwood, linebacker for the Jets, is a name the Patriots apparently, quote unquote, covet.
Okay.
The 6'2", 216-pounder hits harder than listed.
Wow.
His listed frame would suggest.
Got
the
it.
Exact type of physical, violent player that Vrabel wants. The Patriots are working to infuse more speed into their defensive front, which would feature smaller, faster players under Vrabel and new D coordinator Terrell Williams compared to most of their defense of the past two decades. That's refreshing, by the way. I mean, put the name to the side. Jamien Sherwood, not a household name. But that to me is refreshing and feels like you're stepping forward into the modern NFL, which was my criticism of Bill. Oftentimes I'm like, Bill's still two gapping, like he has, you know, Lawrence Taylor on his defense. And I feel like this feels like a step forward. Smaller, faster. It might be why Devon Godchow is allowed to seek a trade, why Christian Barmore may not be a system fit. And guys like Sherwood, for a very good Jets defense the last couple of years,
yeah,
are the kind of players they're looking to get more speed and more athleticism on the field defensively, which I do feel like they've lacked for a long time.
I mean, last year, the biggest surprise of the whole season was certainly not the record, because I think just looking at it, you were like, this isn't going to be a very good team.
But it surprised some of us. But
it was how bad the defense was.
Yes.
The defense was so bad, and just the like how they played, you're like, this is not a defensive head coach's imprint on the team. And hopefully with Vrabel and Williams, sort of that combination where we watch it, and at least early on, even if the wins aren't pouring in, you're like, wow, this defense has an actual identity. They went out, got players that they wanted to fit their scheme, and they should see at least like huge strides forward, right? Like, obviously, it's going to come with players, but even the players that they have that they decide to keep need to fit into what they want to do. And, I mean, they should improve, I would think. Just showing up with guys like Mike Vrabel and Terrell Williams.
So the Herald also had a list of players that the Patriots would likely not be in on.
Okay.
Wouldn't draw interest. And some of them are on defense. The biggest name, I think, is on defense. Josh Sweat, specifically, not expected to receive interest from New England, according to Andrew Callahan and Doug Kide in the Boston Herald. Other names on that list, Amari Cooper, Steph Diggs, Khalil Mack. Were named as players not expected to draw interest from the New England Patriots. Sweat's annoying to me. The other names I'm actually okay with.
Yeah, I was going to say, the other names I'm fine with. Amari Cooper, for sure. After watching him go to Buffalo and just be non-existent, like, no thanks on Cooper. I think Diggs is way past his prime. Plus, it hasn't really gone great the last couple of years in each spot. So I don't think you need to introduce that to this
and
room.
And he's coming back from an injury.
Yeah, right.
Which, to me, you know, I saw people talking about this in the Twitch chat earlier. I'm more willing to roll the dice on Godwin coming back from an injury because he's younger than someone like Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. So Josh Sweat, I mean, again, these guys clearly have a plan for what they want to do defensively. I would think there'd be room for a guy like Josh Sweat, but maybe not. And that's why, like, with each one of these moves and each one of these announcements, it's like, I'll be a little annoyed. Like, I was a little annoyed about the Debo situation, which we'll get into, but it's also like, all right, a month from now, who did you miss out on? And then I'll retroactively be either more pissed or be like, oh, okay, you had a plan. Right? So like, if you don't get Debo, you don't get Josh Sweat, you don't get Ronnie Stanley, all of those individually are annoying to me. But then if you fill out those with other guys, like, okay, you find another receiver, you find another edge rusher, like, okay, okay.
So you think they should have been on Debo for a fifth?
100%.
Me too.
100%.
Like, I heard, I think, Shime talk about this morning. All you had to do is give up a fourth. And you have an extra third. You have multiple picks on day three.
Your fifth's a lot higher, too.
So, well, that's true, too.
Just maybe give up your fifth.
Maybe you could have trumped
much
there
higher.
With the fifth-round pick. Good point. But I would have been okay going a little higher for Debo. I think I'm higher on him than you are.
You are, and I'd still take him for that.
That really is nothing. And they have a ton of cap space, so I'm not worried about the contract, which I think you can get out of relatively easily after this year. But you'd have to give him $17, $18 million, whatever it is for this year. I think that would have been worth it. And clearly, you look at a team on the rise like the Washington Commanders. Last year, they were in a worse spot than you were.
Yeah.
They were drafting before you. They got their young quarterback. You got your young quarterback. They were in the NFC Championship game. They spent a little bit in free agency. They drafted much better than you did. And now they're beating you to the punch on a guy like Debo Samuel. Just the measuring stick game against Washington, I don't like that. Not only the Patriots were out, I don't like that it's Washington beating you to the punch on him.
100%, because Washington, for those that are like, oh, Debo's cashed. Well, Washington, people thought Austin Eckler was cashed, and Zach Ertz was cashed,
point.
And Bobby Wagner was cashed.
That's
like, they
point.
Went out and had a crazy offseason that right away didn't look amazing. And yet their guy, Scott Peters, comes from 49ers, so he's well aware of Debo's game. And that's the team right now that's like hitting on everything. It's like the Braves from like 6 years ago, where it's like every move they made seems to be the right move. So it's not like you lost them to a team like the Jets and you're like, ah, Jets doing a stupid thing. No, Washington right now probably is the best front office going. They had that turnaround, like you said, you were in the exact same spot. Now they're a game away from the Super Bowl in year one. And then they add Debo for a fifth, and anybody's going to say, oh, that was dumb. No, probably not. So probably, look, probably a great move.
To your point, if they wind up with, if Cooper Kupp gets released and you sign him and you didn't have to give up any draft capital,
I'll be happy.
I'll feel better about it. But right now, I could have had Debo for a fifth round pick.
Right.
I kind of wish the Patriots did it. I do wish the Patriots did it.
Definitely.
So you can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. All your reaction to the Herald column. Andrew Callahan and Doug Kye naming names on who the Patriots will be in on. They were not in on Debo Samuel. Do you have any issue with that? Plus, it's a mock draft Monday, the first of many. Here on Jones and Keefe, Chris Scheim going to join us in studio at 10:45. Mark that down. We'll go through his mock draft up now on WEEI.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
I was told definitively that if T. Higgins is available in free agency, the Patriots will be at the head of the line. So I think that's just important to note. And again, there's not shade on the other guy. I know people love to, oh, it's, you're beefing. No, I'm not beefing. We all have different sources. I trust mine just as he trusts his.
In on T. Higgins. In
Source
fact,
wars.
There's only one person saying they're out.
Wow.
Now, I think it's a prominent one.
Yeah.
Chad.
Kraft.
Graf. At The Athletic.
Kraft.
I'm pretty sure.
That was like, remember there was a stretch there where Jim McBride of the Boston Globe.
Uh-huh.
He had a pretty good sense of Bill Belichick's thinking.
Yeah, no,
he had a pretty good sense of some of those
he
things.
He had his hooks in.
He had like the injuries before everybody else did. He had a good connection there. It also seems like Chad Kraft, Graf, is also kind of an extension of the owner, perhaps.
So my guess is...
What does your hunch tell you?
The disconnect in the reporting?
No. T. Higgins, put both reports aside. Toss him aside.
I don't think he even leaves Cincinnati. I know we disagree on this. I think he's a Bengal.
I think he does leave Cincinnati, but I do not think the Patriots are going to all of a sudden pony up the draft picks and the money to get him.
So it's interesting. I think the disconnect comes from who these people are talking to. As Giardi says, I have my source that I trust. He has his that he trusts. No shade at Chad Graf.
Graf.
On the reporting. But there's quite Mark Daniels pushback, the Herald pushback in the Callahan story here today,
yep.
Or yesterday rather, with Doug Kye, says the Patriots planned to pursue Cincinnati's T. Higgins until it was reported last week the Bengals are expected to retain him via the franchise tag for the second straight year. League sources universally do not see Higgins being available right now, but if the Bengals pivot at the last minute, one agent offered at the combine, everyone in the league knows the Patriots want T.
So that
means they want him. It doesn't mean he wants them.
It's green tea.
Yeah. I think that they would want him if he was just a free agent. They might be willing to spend the money. I don't think they're going to be willing to do the trade and the money. Right? That was why he was so appealing. He and Chris Godwin are really the only two names on the free agent list or potential free agent list that I think really make you feel a lot better about what you have. Everybody else is like, don't think so. Some of the other trade options, that then you get into that, right? So if you're going to trade for DK Metcalf or trade for T. Higgins, I think most people would rather trade for DK Metcalf. So that just hurts T. Higgins' overall value and the number of teams that would be interested, I think.
One item on Metcalf, since you brought him up.
All right.
The Patriots prefer signing Higgins or Godwin over a trade for a number one receiver, according to the Herald, for the simple fact that they would rather sign someone into their cap space, $127.7 million, instead of surrendering draft capital in the deal and significant cap space. The front office has nonetheless kicked the tires on a potential trade for Seattle's DK Metcalf, per source, while it weighs the ripple effects of making a player they're not familiar with, like Metcalf, the newest, highest-paid player on the team. So I didn't like that line. It's like,
well, so are you in it or not? You're going to have to spend big to get these type of guys in here.
Are you in on anyone? They're all from the outside. Whoever you're signing in free agency is going to be the highest paid player on the team.
They better be. So is that what a bad free agency that's going to be.
Was that just a specific shot at him?
I don't know.
The ripple effects of making a player they're not familiar with, like Metcalf, the new highest paid player on the team. What does that mean? You're not going to be familiar with any of these guys.
Well, unless you're, and I know he's not available, but like, does AJ Brown not qualify?
Okay,
like,
fair.
Because,
good. Or like Jeffrey Vrabel Simmons, guys. Like guys that played for Vrabel in Tennessee, maybe.
Or McDaniels guys. I don't know. I mean, if the highest paid guy on the Patriots this upcoming season is already currently on the roster, we're in a lot of trouble.
So that's what I think the disconnect is, though, on T. Higgins. I think ownership is saying, we're not paying this guy $30 plus million and trading a draft pick to go get it. We're not doing it. And then you talk to the personnel people who are like, oh, no, we'll definitely be in.
Yeah.
So I think that's where you're getting the disconnect.
Texter brings up a good point, so I'll sort of add on to it, too. But he's like, the Patriots weren't interested in Deebo Samuel at $17 million at a fifth-round pick. You think they want T. Higgins for a first-round pick at $35
million? Okay, well, the counterpoint would be they might think Debo's cooked.
I think T. Higgins is going to have a brighter future than Deebo, but I can't imagine to the point where it's five rounds higher and twice the money.
Yeah,
is
fair.
What I guess what I
saying. Just think if you think Debo's done, I don't. But I'd be worried about it. I'm not telling you I guarantee he's going to find the fountain of youth. He was dinged up last season. Do you think San Francisco, they didn't have a good year all year anyway. McCaffrey was hurt.
Everybody
had a lot
hurt.
Of injuries. Like, Ayuk got hurt. So they didn't have a good year, period. I'd be nervous about Deebo being cooked. You got to think about him aging like a running back, not as a wide
receiver.
Are
they more concerned about the what's left in the player, the money they had to give him, or the draft pick they had to give up?
So I think it would go money, draft pick. Then they're like, let's see what the guy has left in the tank. Yeah. But that would point to them being in on Deebo, and it sounds like they weren't.
Do you
so maybe
think
I
he
had
has
that wrong.
A good year in Washington?
Yes.
So do I.
I think he's going to have a great year in Washington.
Yeah, okay.
They don't need to lean on him. You know,
no.
Like the Patriots might need to lean on him if you brought in Deebo. He'd have to be your number
That's
one.
True.
Can he do that? I don't know. He may have never really been a number one wide receiver. He's had one all-pro season.
Yeah.
He's never had a 1,000-yard season outside of that. He's never been a Pro Bowler outside of that. So he might not be a number one. But if you have Terry McLaurin there in Washington.
Yeah. No, they're set up pretty well.
I think it'll work where maybe it wouldn't here. But no, they should have been in at a fifth-round value for Deebo Samuel. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number. You can also text in all your 44s for Billy Lanny's 44th birthday. We got a lot of these, Keith.
Yeah, we do. They're flying.
We got a call on, we got Danny Ainge.
Oh, Ainge is a good one. Scal, we got in the Twitch chat.
Keep it.
Yep. John Riggins.
Yeah, a lot of fullbacks.
Hank, I told you, that's the first thing I thought
number.
Of. Fullback number.
No doubt.
Hank Aaron. Tom Rathman.
Hank Aaron.
I came up with Dennis Seidenberg. That was one I thought of
Dennis
in the break.
Dennis Seidenberg.
Good
sides.
Call. Yeah, sidesies.
Sides.
Yeah.
Nice.
Side piece is what they used to call
what
it.
What the hell?
Back in his playing days. So you can keep sending those in on the text line, plus all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. What's the plan in free agency? The Herald gave you a lot of insight into that over the weekend. And what's the plan at wide receiver? We'll start it off today with Sorja in Mansfield. What's up, Sorja?
Hey, Jones and Keith. How are we today?
Doing great.
big happy birthday to Billy Lanny, of course. Maybe a future Patriot, number 44, to Tyler Warren. Really quick here, guys. I'm really not looking forward to the Patriots offseason.
Sorge, can we pop Sorge on hold for a second?
You sound like you're in some sort of vortex tunnel or something.
He's like cutting in and out. If we could, if we could pop him back on hold for a moment. Tyler Warren, future Patriot 44. I know Chris Schein.
I was going to say. Got him in the mock, though.
Not as high on Tyler Warren as I am, or I heard Wiggy.
Wiggy's in.
Discussing quite a bit of Tyler Warren this morning when I was listening to Schein. You'll hear him again in studio about 10 minutes from now on a Mock Draft Monday with Jones and Keefe. His mock is up now at WEEI.com. We'll talk about it. He's got the Patriots making a trade, trading back, and we'll get into some of the specifics there. But he's not super sold on the idea of Tyler Warren. I don't hate the idea of if the Patriots don't love the wide receiver class and they're not going to be in on T. Higgins and Godwin stays in Tampa and they already didn't get Deebo Samuel, I don't mind the pivot to a tight end. The counterpoint would be, and you brought this up last week, they already have a pretty good tight end in Hunter Henry.
He's not great, right? But when you look across the board of needs. No. If you're ranking needs, they have needs everywhere but quarterback. But if you're ranking the groups, so much of our attention's on offensive line and wide receiver and even pass rush. Like these ones, number two corner, like they've all kind of leaped to the foreground over tight end and running back. Now, yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to, if you got a really, really good player, like you're not going to not take Brock Bowers, you're not going to not take Jahmyr Gibbs, like you would take those guys. But I feel like, you know, Mike Vrabel had that line about this free agency, they want to be able to field a team where they're ready to go, and then the draft can kind of come to them. And right now, you can pencil in Hunter Henry as your starting tight end, and it's not a joke. You can pencil in Ramondre Stevenson as a running back, and yeah, he has to hold on to the ball better. But you're like, all right, those are NFL guys at those positions.
No, I agree. We're talking about upgrades versus, actual
like needs. Desperately need starters.
Right, like the whole offensive line. Like the whole wide receiver room. Correct. Those are legitimate needs. Yep. All right, Sorge's back. Go ahead, Sorge.
Yeah, so really quick here, guys. Yeah, I just think I'm not looking forward to this Patriots offseason only because I feel like they're going to be like the interest kings like the Red Sox were a couple offseasons ago. And my only advice to the Patriots would be is that we've seen this dichotomy between the Patriots and the Red Sox the last couple seasons. They need to do what the Red Sox did where, okay, you make a great trade for Crochet. Okay, you sign Walker Buehler. And then, bang, you bring in Bregman because that will legitimize the whole operation. They need to bring in blue-chip talent.
Okay. I don't know how much blue-chip talent's available.
Like if Travis free agency, it's not much.
Even in the draft. We talked on Friday a lot, Keith. Like, if Travis Hunter falls to you at 4, I pounce. He's not available in Shime's mock draft. Shime has Abdul Carter 1. He has Hunter going the pick before them.
That's doomsday scenario.
At 3.
Two of those guys in the top 3 is bad news.
All right, I think there's two genuine blue chippers. You can still get a good player, obviously, at 4. But genuine blue chippers in the draft, I think there's two of them. Free agency, the names we keep talking about. Ronnie Stanley may not leave Baltimore. Chris Godwin may not leave Tampa. T. Higgins may not leave Cincinnati. A lot of the blue chippers we talk about may not be available. So that doesn't mean you can't get good players, and that doesn't mean they can't still spend money and upgrade their talent. They should do all those things.
Yeah.
But how many true blue chippers are available? I think that's a fair fear for Sorge to say, I don't really know what's available for them to go get, and I'm fearful of the offseason because there's not a lot of supply for the Patriots' demand.
So in the draft, that's why I like what you've said before about, Genty or Warren, just because those guys might be blue chippers. They're not of positions of need, but would you rather walk away with just a great player and figure out how you're going to use them, figure out the rest of your roster, or the best player at a position that you really need and he might be like a B+? You need a lot of B+'s too, but like if you have an opportunity in the first round because you are going into the draft picking 4th, you'd like to shoot higher than a B+.
Well, and I would tell you too, anybody who's adamant about an offensive lineman, Will Campbell included, you're adamant they need an offensive lineman, just realize you're not drafting the best player available. You're drafting for need.
At that point.
And I think if you're a contending team, I'm okay with drafting for need.
Yeah.
When you're bottom of the barrel like the Patriots are, you should be drafting the best player. And I would say even if you have Hunter Henry on your roster or Ramondre Stevenson on your roster, to your point, I'd rather get the guy who can be an A+ player somewhere down the line, even if it's not at a real need, than reaching for an O-lineman at 4 just because you need one. That is the definition of drafting for need.
So real quick, the free agent class, which every year we know is not great, right? So many guys get re-signed or they get traded before their last year on their deal, so that team can at least get something back for a good player. The NFL.com came out with their list of top 101 free agents, and they rank them. Now, this list includes T. Higgins, who might stay. It includes Ronnie Stanley, who might stay.
Trey Smith, I'm sure.
The D tackle in Dallas, who they might franchise. So, keeping that in mind, all those guys are on the list. Godwin, right? How do you feel about Amari Cooper? Not great.
No.
He's ranked 13th.
Yeah, it's
now, if you take away the guys that are probably just going to stay on their teams,
he might be a
like,
top 10 free agent.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
He might be top 5.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of tells you the state of
the class.
Point.
Yeah. It is a good point. A bunch of texts, 617-779-7937. Glenn Murray, 44. That's a good one.
Glenn Murray was good, yeah.
Reggie Jackson, Mr. October.
Is that right?
Or was it the basketball player? No, I'm thinking.
Mr. October.
44.
He tried to kill the queen in Naked Gun. They got in there.
Was the Time Lord 44? That might be right.
Time Lord?
Yeah, he was.
Time Lord 44.
He hit block a shot.
Nice one.
Yeah. Yuri Welsh. Was Yuri Welsh?
Oh, Yuri Welsh.
Yuri might have been 44, yeah.
Nice.
That is solid.
Good job by Danny Ainge trading him away. you can jump in here with all your 44s on Billy Lanny's 44th birthday, plus your thoughts on the Patriots, their offseason, what they should do, what they will do, what's realistic. 617-779-7937. And it's a mock draft Monday.
Yes.
We got Chris Schein in studio to break down his mock next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It is a mock draft Monday. And our first mocker, Chris Schein, Mock Draft 2.0, right?
Yes, correct. Mock Draft 2.0.
Up now on WEEI.com. You can go give that a click and follow along. But I'll read through what you have here, Schein.
Okay.
And then let's break down some of the particulars.
Do it.
Abdul Carter 1 to the Titans, Cam Ward 2 to the Browns, Travis Hunter 3 to the Giants, which, Keefe, we dub a nightmare scenario.
Doomsday scenario.
So, when we get to pick 4, Schein has the Patriots trading down with the New York Jets. Jets come up the board, take Shedeur Sanders. Patriots get the 7th pick this year, a 4th rounder this year, and a future 2nd round pick in 2026. Jaguars take Mason Graham at 5. Jade Barron, the cornerback out of Texas. Am I saying that right?
Jade Barron, yep.
At 6 to the Raiders. And then the Patriots move down to 7
and
take T-Mac, Tet McMillan, wide receiver out of Arizona. Why the move there, Schein, to trade back and take McMillan at 7?
So I think in this world, right, I think that moving down and allowing another team to come up for the quarterback is the right move. The guy they want is either going to be an offensive lineman or T-Mac at this point. If both Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter are off the board, that's the direction you kind of have to go. Those are your two biggest needs. They're also probably two of the better players on the board. But in this case, I think they need to draft for need. And Tet McMillan gives you that. He gives you that big, strong X receiver. He's got tremendous hands. He will pluck it from anywhere. And I think he's faster than people give him credit for. I'm kind of bummed you didn't get to see him run his 40 at the combine, but we will get to see it at his pro day. And if he's anywhere in the 4.5s or below, he's golden. Like, right, that's it.
What are the chances you think right now that two quarterbacks go in the top 3? I know you got him going 2 in the top 4, but for my sake, where you could get either Hunter or Carter at 4, I think that's what it comes down to. Like, will Sanders and Ward go in the top 3?
Like, on a percentage scale, I'm leaning right now 65% chance only one quarterback goes in the top 3. Kind of where I'm at. There's way too much smoke around the Giants in the veteran quarterback market that I just don't think that they're going to draft a young quarterback. Daboll and Shane need to win now. They have to win football games, otherwise their job is toast.
Would they trade down?
They could, but it would have to take a haul, I think, just because they're in a position to get one of the two blue chip players.
True.
If Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter somehow went off the board 1-2, I think you'd see them trade down, but outside of that, I think they're going to stay and get a blue chipper.
Why do you hate Hunter again?
I think he's more a product of the Deion Sanders hype machine than anything else.
How dare you?
I think he is. He's a remarkable athlete. I just don't know that he is.
They need those.
Going to be a great football player in the NFL. Like, I don't know. Like, you watch him dunk and stuff. Like, it's awesome. Again,
the guy's a freak.
He's doing two things.
He's better than Shohei Ohtani, according to him.
Yeah, but when I watch him, when I actually watch him play, I feel like a lot of his numbers were goosed up.
Disagree.
In non-crunch time situations, in garbage time.
That's a tough conference, that Big 12.
Oh, yeah, real tough conference.
A lot of defensive players come out of the Big 12.
Like, I look at a guy like Ashton Jeanty. I was pissed about this when it happened at the Heisman Trophy presentation. Like, Ashton Jeanty had great games against teams like Oregon, Travis Hunter couldn't show up against Kansas State.
Listen, that's a good Wildcats team. So one thing, there was a scout. I forget his name, and I got to figure this out because I'm going to quote this probably 50 times before the draft.
Don't be an Elliot Wolf and misquote here.
I forget who it was. No, but what he said was, he's like, I was doing a ton of work on the quarterbacks in this draft, mm-hmm. and he's like, after examining all the Shedeur Sanders film, the thing that stands out to me is Travis Hunter. So he's basically saying that Shedeur Sanders' numbers are kind of ballooned because of how good Hunter is. But I just think the combination of him playing corner and maybe being the best second or third best corner, him being maybe the best second or third best wide receiver, should vault him up high. I mean, you still have him going three. I mean, this isn't who you would take. This is who you think is going to go at three. So Tet McMillan, Elliot Wolf had that comment when he spoke at the Combine about how he thinks it's like a meaty middle of wide receivers. Now, again, it could just be up to Mike Vrabel, and Mike Vrabel says this is who we're taking anyway. But when I heard that, it struck me as they're not going to go for McMillan, Burden, like the top three or four guys outside of Hunter. And if they do take a wide receiver, it'd be later in the draft.
Yeah, so in this situation, right, so like if the Patriots weren't to go receiver, they were going to go offensive tackle, let's say. I think they'd probably go at this point, Armand Membu is the tackle out of Missouri, the 4.940. I don't know if you go and watch
the
video.
Oh, I saw that. That was
the primal screams. He had, amazing.
Yeah.
And he can block. Like the kid can play football and he's a freak.
Is he a starter right away?
Yes. He is a starting left tackle, in my opinion, probably right away in the NFL. So if they were to go offensive line at seven, like they trade down, but they go offensive line, I think that's the direction you go over Will Campbell. The arm length is just too much of a thing. And I got ridiculed by a former show on this time slot before about saying City So had really short arms, and he didn't work out either. He sucked too.
Yeah.
So I avoid the short arm guys playing tackle. I'll take Membu.
Shimes like me. He remembers everything everybody says about him.
I always hold it.
Hold on to it.
Always.
Yeah.
It fuels me.
Hold it tight.
Yeah.
And Amika Egbuka falls out of the first round in my mock, so maybe that's a guy that they target in the early second round.
In the 30s. Okay. So you mentioned Campbell. He's falling because it's not just the arm length. It's the wingspan. I mean, there's a lot of things that I think went poorly for him.
He's got snarl
at the combine.
He's got good snarl.
He does have some good snarl.
He's got some athleticism, got some snarl.
Yep. Two names that I like in a trade down scenario, perfectly illustrated by you moving down with the Jets.
Yep.
From 4 to 7. I like Tyler Warren there. I like Genty there. You know, I would drop as low as like 10 and still be interested in those guys. You have them both in the 20s.
Yeah, I would be more interested in Genty than Warren. I just think that the hype created by people outside of the NFL, so the NFL media and the fans, is far higher for guys like Tyler Warren and Ashton Genty than the actual NFL are on those players.
What about the season that Brock Bowers had and the last couple of seasons that Jahmyr Gibbs had?
Well, so I think that's the reason why everybody outside the NFL is so out of their minds about it. I think first round running backs are still
good. I don't like that I'm being talked down
to. You are
now.
Outside.
I am outside the NFL simpleton, is what I'm saying.
You guys mentioned the Kide and Callahan piece earlier.
Yeah.
The line in there about Joe Milton. The buzz around him is way higher among fans and media than it is actually in the NFL. I agree with. I think running backs and tight ends are very much in the same category, and that's why I think you'll see a guy like Tyler Warren and Ashton Genty fall into later in the first round.
How many, off the top of your head, how many day one starting left tackles do you think there are? So if the Patriots do end up trading down, I've advocated for best Haas available. Give me your BHA. I want Hunter, but if you can't get him, give me your starting tackle. This way, if you miss out on Ronnie Stanley, who could maybe realistically they get that could be a plug and play?
So starting day one tackles, I'd set the line at 3.5.
Okay.
I'd probably lean under.
Oh. Is Campbell in that group or no?
No, okay. I wouldn't include Campbell. The three tackles I'd assume would be starters like day one would be Membu for sure.
Okay. Simmons.
Yes on Simmons. The injury stuff is concerning, but I'd probably say yes on Simmons. And then, to be honest with you,
Banks?
I would skip Banks and I would go Ursary. Like, I think Ariante Ursary out of Minnesota is probably the next guy that I would say is like a day one starting tackle. I think
Banks, you have him 25. So if the Patriots could trade down for like a haul and maybe still walk away with a starting tackle?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Like, I think that's in play. I think almost best case scenario is they can fleece somebody into trading up for a quarterback and they can get two first round picks here. Get like a pick at 10 or something, and then enough capital come back into the first round and get a second good player on a rookie contract. Like,
so you still have Mason Graham at 5.
Yep.
A lot of people have linked the Patriots to Mason Graham. Similar to Will Campbell, though, he didn't measure very well at the combine. And so why are you a big believer in Graham, whereas you ding Campbell more for dropping in the mock?
I think length is less important at defensive tackle. I think.
Thank God.
I look at a guy,
I should have been a D tackle.
Yeah, you should have. I look at a guy like Kalijah Kancey a couple years ago, went to the Tampa Bay Bucks, has had a lot of success, especially recently. I just think the way Graham plays, the fluidity and the movement and the explosion off the line are really important. And to me, I think he's a better player, to be completely honest. Like, I think he is much more of a plug and play player. And when you're playing, you know, if you get drafted by the Jaguars and you're playing next to Josh Hines Allen and Trayvon Walker, like, you're going to be in a much better spot than Will Campbell on an island against, you know, Myles Garrett.
How many more mocks? This is your second mock. First one, obviously, post-combine. We have 52 days until the draft. How many more
52 days, 8 hours, 4 minutes, 3, 2, 1 second.
Nice. Yeah. My guess is probably two more. Nice. One at the first day of April. April Fool's Day, I'll release one. Not a joke.
Could be a hilarious one.
Real mock. Not a joke.
Get ready for the Mike Thomas email after April Fool's Day.
And then I will also put one out probably like a couple days before the actual draft.
Okay.
Very good.
Well, Shime, good stuff. And as always, you can give Shime all of your feedback on social media and on WEEI.com. There's a lot of it in the Twitch chat now. It's all good, I'm sure, right?
Definitely.
No one really criticizing.
Yeah, just not another guy on Instagram calling me a mush brain.
That's mean.
So follow him on Twitter, at ShimeTime. You could listen to him on The Greg Hill Show. Mock Draft 2.0 from Chris Shime out now on a Mock Draft Monday on Jones and Keefe. Shime, thanks for sticking around today.
My pleasure, boys.
Thank you, Scrim.
And we'll keep an eye out for future mock drafts. You can jump in on this, 617-779-7937, and we'll get to the weekend that was for the Celtics. Which game meant more, their win over the Nuggets or their loss to the Cavs? We'll get to it next.